And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll look at a couple of players slated to make long-awaited returns to the majors on Monday.
Like death and taxes, Dodger's gonna Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. This is Monday, August 3rd. Al Melchior here with Derek Van Riper. DVR, let's kick off the week with some exciting news. We've got K-Bear Ruiz to be recalled on Monday to make his debut with the Nationals. Of course, he had a couple of cups of coffee with the Dodgers. First Nationals appearance. The question I'm sure that we all have is how much is Ruiz going to play? We got a little bit of a cryptic message from Davey Martinez, but I'll look at this as the glass half full. Martinez said, we're going to play him as much as we can. So does that say to you that he is ready to go as a number one fantasy catcher, or do you need to be more assured of playing time or of performance?
I think there's always a risk for a player getting their first opportunity as a starter in the big leagues. But I think with Ruiz, we're talking about a guy who's really controlled the strike zone well in the minor leagues, puts a ton of balls in play. So I think the floor is actually pretty high just in terms of the batting average. He's shown some power in the upper levels in the minor leagues. He's been young for the level everywhere he's played, at least in leagues that use two catchers. I think he's worth picking up right away because the Nats have every reason to let him play 75%+ of the time to give him a pretty normal workload for a young catcher. So I'm in on Ruiz in two catcher leagues. I don't know if in like a 10 team one catcher league, if I'm going after him right away, I think I'd go more the watch list route to see just how good things look, where he's at in the order, and kind of get a feel for things for a few days if possible.
All right. Well, if you then maybe are thinking about a JT Realmuto replacement, which again, not necessarily something we need to worry about, but if you're being extra cautious, maybe go a different route. Realmuto left Sunday's game for the Phillies with ankle soreness. He is considered day to day. So would you consider sitting him this week, DVR?
I would consider it. I think it's always tough with a catcher just because your replacement options are so bad. A lot of them don't even play half as much as a guy like Realmuto can play. So hopefully we get some clarity on Monday. You know, not knowing, it really just depends on the quality of my backup option.
All right. Well, another return to be very excited about. I mean, with Ruiz, it almost just feels like a major league debut, even though it isn't. But Corey Kluber legitimately returning to the Yankees rotation. He's going to be the starter on Monday against the Angels. That would also line him up for a second start this week against the Orioles with Andrew Haney going to the bullpen. So are you ready to roll with Corey Kluber this week?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we've seen enough good from Kluber this year to be interested in him in most formats. I think as long as we're not talking about a matchup against the top five offense, and we're not in this case, I think it's worth going ahead and rolling him out there in his first start back.
Arguably a matchup against a bottom five offense, at least since the All-Star break. So pretty nice landing spot there, really, for both starts for Corey Kluber this week. George Springer, we are looking to see him return to the Blue Jays on Monday. So good news there. Raimel Tapia also expected to come off the IL on Monday. Any concerns about either his playing time or Connor Joe's? Ostensibly, Joe would be in left field, but do you see any sort of spillover there?
I think they can move Joe around enough where Tapia coming back doesn't necessarily make his playing time dry up. I think they owe it to themselves as an organization to see if Joe can continue to hit the way he has throughout August through the final month of the season, because there'd be reason to possibly keep him around in 2022 if he can.
Yep. So, yeah, it would be the good move to make. More Yankees news here. We already talked about Kluber. Gleyber Torres began a rehab assignment with AA Somerset on Sunday, and he is looking to return this Friday. So that'd be very good to see. Chris Paddock, he is expected to return for the Padres on Monday against the Diamondbacks. Couple of players that should come back at some point this week, probably in the latter part of the week, for the Astros, Jose Urquidy and Chaz McCormick. And I did see on one site there being speculation that it might be Luis Garcia going to the bullpen to make room for Urquidy. And then as far as Chaz McCormick is concerned, I would think that he might not necessarily play that much because Jake Meyers has been playing and hitting really well. So how do you see those two situations shaking out?
I'm with you on the McCormick situation. With Meyers playing well, they probably don't have to force it with him. I think with Garcia, they're probably looking for ways to dial back on his innings in September to try and keep him fresh for October. The bigger question is, do you hold him for the last couple weeks of the season? Because I would assume if they intend on having Garcia in the playoff rotation, they want to make sure he's at least going five innings for those last couple of starts before we get to the playoffs. So while he might not be used as much as we'd like him to in these next 2 weeks, the value in the final 2 to 3 weeks could still be pretty high for him given how well he's pitched.
All right. Situation to watch there. And Mets note here, Noah Syndergaard has tested positive for COVID-19, will be shut down on his rehab assignment for at least 10 days. Was there a reason to be stashing him anyway? And if there was, is there now?
I don't think there really was. He's not throwing breaking balls, which is at the instruction of one of the most brilliant organizations in sports. Given their flawless track record of handling injuries, I'm sure you should trust everything they tell you to do if you're a player in that organization right now. But as Syndergaard goes, I was just worried about usage, and I didn't think there was going to be enough immediate value to justify stashing him just based on some of the changes they were making and the number of setbacks that he's had.
And one bullpen note, Alex Reyes, not a good night for him, walked a couple of batters, then gave up a walk-off to Yoshi Tsutsugo, so losing the game and blowing the save against the Pirates. Those were the first walks, by the way, that Reyes has issued since August 5th. I have to admit that surprised me because he's had a series of rough outings really throughout the month of August, but it's not been the walks or the control for Reyes. But in this particular case, that really was part of what did him in. Are you back, or were you ever looking to speculate on Giovanni Gallegos? How are you reading this situation?
I guess Gallegos, for me, has been rosterable all season, even when Reyes has pitched well, because Gallegos is so good in a setup role that you can justify using him even when he's not getting saved. So not much has changed for me with Gallegos, and I think it's actually a pretty encouraging sign that Reyes's control has improved as much as we've seen it improve over the course of the season.
Yeah, so even though it looks, you know, trend-wise, like maybe his job is in trouble, the peripherals kind of tell a different story. So if you've got Reyes, that's something to just take note of.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, let's take a look at some of the Sunday standouts here. We'll start with Jesus Luzardo. Really nice performance from him. I've just really been rooting for him, especially since coming over to the Marlins. It's been disappointing on the whole, but a really good start against a good Cincinnati team. Six scoreless innings, just one hit and one walk allowed. Eight big strikeouts for him. He's got the Phillies this week. Do you have enough confidence to let him roll?
Still want to use him more in situations where I'm not trying to gain points in ratios. I think there's still a lot of risk. One good start is a step in the right direction, especially with it being against a tough opponent. The Reds are an above average offense. He did catch them at home, and he catches the Phillies at home. So in 15 teamers, I'm erring on the side of playing him. In more shallow formats, I'm actually erring on the side of giving it another week before turning Luzardo loose.
All righty. And Antonio Sensatella, another good start for him. Now, I've been kind of driving the Kylan Freeland hype train on this show for a few weeks. But I've talked a little bit about Sensatella as well and maybe need to be giving him a bit more attention because he's really been nearly as effective as Freeland has for the last 2 months. 7 shutout innings at the Dodgers on Sunday. 2 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts for Sensatella. So now going back over his last 54 2/3 innings, a 3.29 ERA, 41 strikeouts against 10 walks, just 2 homers. That last stat is the key one for Sensatella. Allows a lot of contact, but not much hard contact at all. He's got the Braves this week, so another challenging matchup. Do you think he's up to it?
I don't want to trust it, especially in Colorado. I think Sensatella is the guy that I've always been, the kind of guy that I've always been interested in if he leaves the Rockies. I think there's good enough talent there that if you took him out of that park and enabled the pitches to move the way they move on the road all the time, that would make him a more viable fantasy starter. But I've just never felt confident enough to use him. Even trying to spot him in road matchups or even the occasional, you know, bad offense showing up at Coors, I've never felt good enough to play him, even though he does show some flashes.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Maybe that should change, but yeah, as for now, still a little distrusting of Sensatella. Taylor Hearn with a very good start and also with a tough matchup against the Astros. 6 2/3 innings, 2 runs on 6 hits, no walks, 6 strikeouts. And he's been a little under the radar, but performing pretty well for a while now. His last 31 1/3 innings, that covers 5 starts and a couple of long relief appearances. So over that 31 1/3 innings, a 2.87 ERA, 27 strikeouts against 10 walks, 4 homers. So maybe a little bit more strikeout appeal than Sensatella per inning, but also some similar contact management skills for Hearn. He's got a much, much better matchup than Sensatella does this week. He's got the Angels in Anaheim. So how do you feel about that one?
If I had to pick between the two, I'd actually rather use Hearn. I think, you know, 2 Rangers starters right now, Taylor Hearn and Glenn Otto, are both sort of interesting to me with their upcoming schedule and with the opportunity for them to go 5+ in this Rangers rotation.
Yeah, I like them both as deep league streamers for sure. Otto, very, very intriguing and getting some attention in Sunday Fab as well. Let's go to one more pitcher. We're kind of ratcheting further and further down in terms of the contact managers. Paul Blackburn, sort of the ultimate contact manager. Do you recall, I think it was 2018 DVR, had something like 3 strikeouts per 9 innings for the A's and still did pretty well, getting a few more strikeouts so far this year, but only 1 strikeout in 5 innings against the Yankees on Sunday. That was enough. He didn't give up any runs, 5 hits, 1 walk. He's now got a 2.81 ERA after 3 starts this season for Blackburn. He's got the Blue Jays in Toronto, so I think that one's pretty easy.
No chance I would use him.
Any appeal beyond that start?
It really depends on the schedule, but I feel like the K rate is so low, it has to be a layup win situation for me to even try it.
All right. And then a couple of pitchers that may be a little bit concerning. Ian Anderson, his first start back from the IL, no strikeouts in 5 2/3, but overall, you know, good result, scoreless outing for him, but just 7 swinging strikes on the day for him. So he's got the Rockies in Colorado. Do we play it safe?
Yeah, I would. I know it's Anderson's got the future ceiling of someone that you might use in a spot like that, but not today. Like, I'm not there with him skills-wise to trust him enough to throw him in Coors Field.
All right, and Kyle Hendricks, the other one struggling, really struggled quite a bit over the last few weeks, this time against the White Sox. He's got the Pirates this week. You still feel good about that?
I don't feel good about it, but it's a good enough matchup where I would actually still try and throw Kyle Hendricks out there and just hope for 6 innings and a win.
All right. Well, a lot of pitching there to talk about. A number of 2 homer performances on Sunday. We're just going to focus on one here. Joey Wendell, his 8th and 9th homers of the season in Baltimore. Still, you know, primarily starting against righties, but do you see any weekly appeal here for Wendell?
I'm trying not to read too much into it. I think the playing time's not quite as stable as it was earlier in the season for Wendell either.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not. All right, let's look ahead to Monday streamers. So just going to give you 4 names here, and you can riff as you so choose. Johnny Cueto versus the Brewers, Bailey Ober at Detroit, Luis Patino gets the Red Sox at home, and AJ Alexi making his major league debut against the Rockies in Arlington.
I love picking on the Rockies. I'm not doing it with AJ Alexi. I think of those options, I actually like Bailey Ober the most. I know the Tigers are proving to be a kind of a feisty late season matchup for a lot of pitchers, but Ober's gone through a pretty difficult stretch of the schedule, mostly unscathed. And I think he's shown at least consistent command, not necessarily a great arsenal, but good enough to be a quality back end starter. So I'm Ober and Cueto, I think, on the streaming front for Monday. Patino, because of the matchup, even though he's pitched well recently, I'm trying to shy away from if possible.
All right, let's just take a look at some players that may cause a dilemma for us setting lineups. Shohei Ohtani, now he is expected to start Tuesday against the Yankees, but as a hitter, any worries there? Hit by a pitch on his wrist this weekend. X-rays came back negative, but any worries using him as a DH?
A little bit, but I think just given the encouraging news here, we can err on the side of planning to play him, barring something that changes in the next 24 hours or so.
Okay, and Chris Bryant with the side injury did not play either Saturday or Sunday.
A little more cautious there just because of the way they've backed off him for a couple of days and the way they mix and match the depth that they have. But I would say Bryant is playing well enough where you really want to force him in, even if you think he's going to miss a game or two to begin the week.
All right, one last player here. Dylan Carlson, he is healthy, but tough schedule. 3 games in Cincinnati, 3 at Milwaukee. A lot of tough pitchers in that stretch. Not really setting the world on fire offensively. So can we afford to sit him?
Yeah, you can. I mean, the power and speed have not been there the way we've hoped this season. I know he homered on Saturday, and that's fine. He's a good young player who I think still has another level to reach. But in matchups this difficult, he hasn't shown us enough to where you want to just push on through and leave him in the lineup. I'd look very carefully at the alternatives.
All right, so ending the Monday show here on a cautious note. So good luck this week with setting your lineups and rotations. That's going to be it, though, for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. If you do have an opportunity to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, we thank you in advance for doing so. For Derek Van Riper, I'm Al Melchior, and we'll be back here on Tuesday.